Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 project here on the Nerd Party Network, where me and Dallas King make our way through the A24 filmography and now TV shows, and in between, we bring you interviews with the talent involved. In this episode, I'm joined by actor and musician Evangeline Young to discuss her role as Miss Mindy in Sofia Coppola's On the Rocks. Evangeline takes us behind the scenes on her experience working with Bill Murray, Sofia Coppola, and Rashida Jones on the film, her career in film, TV, and as a performing musician, and much, much more. Thanks so much to Evangeline for joining me, and I hope you too will enjoy this interview. You're obviously a diverse creative talent. You're a musician, a performer, an actor. Was this always your hope to sort of blend all these different talents together?
Well, thanks for saying that. It's interesting because it wasn't always my I would say plan, if you can have a plan when you're a kid, but I, from the time I was really young, I always knew that I wanted to be an actor. And then that's kind of where most of my energy went. And then music, I grew up in a family of a lot of musicians. So I was always around music and always loved it. But then it wasn't until a little bit later on, when I was around like 17, that I realized that music was something that I loved doing and was just as fulfilled by as acting. And then I kind of realized that, and then ever since have been sort of doing this dual thing and combining them where I can. So it's kind of it's a real joy. Didn't always plan on it.
What were sort of like those early films, performances, music that sort of inspired you?
Well, I grew up around a lot of like folk musicians. So I grew up kind of in that tradition and around a lot of that, which I still is kind of the music that I do today. I would say definitely has its roots there. In terms of actually both early films and music wise, when I was a kid, I saw the movie Walk the Line, Johnny Cash, which is to this day, I think my favorite film of all time, both because of nostalgic reasons, but also I think it's an incredible movie. But I saw that when I was a kid, and I don't know why my parents took me to see it, because it's pretty adult for like an 8-year-old to be sitting and taking in. And I was being introduced to a lot of like concepts that I had never really been aware of before, in terms of like drug and alcohol abuse and like infidelity and like stories of redemption and stuff like that. And it just kind of like broadened my scope as a kid and broadened my understanding of life around me. And I think just sort of introduced me to storytelling. And I was just so affected by it and so affected by the film and Johnny Cash's story and his music. And I was obsessed with Johnny Cash after that. And I think that is a moment that I remember being very defining for me and in terms of me wanting to become a storyteller, I think.
I felt really old as well a few weeks ago. I think it's like 15th anniversary a couple of weeks ago. I saw it on iTunes. It was like, get Walk the Line, $4.99 this week, 15th anniversary. And I had a similar reaction. It obviously hasn't turned me into a musician or a performer, but I kind of remember sort of watching that film and being like, I really need to go out and buy his CD now. And so it had a very similar effect on me.
Yes.
I was blown away by him as a performance and just sort of Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. And for some reason, I still randomly drop it into conversations of him having an argument or a dispute with someone. Just that baby, baby, baby.
Exactly.
That's the influence on the film on me.
I love that line. And one of the things, I think that is probably my favorite music biopic that I've ever seen, because you see a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there, but I feel like oftentimes you see people just doing really great impressions of the person that the movie is about. And what I love about Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon in that movie is that they're not just doing impressions. They've captured like the essence of those people. So you don't doubt for a second who they are or what they're about. And that's, I think, it's just really hard to do. And that's one of the reasons I love it so much.
What's it been like turning that kind of passion and commitment to sort of music and acting and turning it into a career? What's been your journey to doing that?
Well, it's definitely a journey that I'm still on. I've been acting since I was a kid, and have since, like I said, discovering music and learning that was something that I wanted to do and incorporate into my career as well. It's been a process, you know. I've had a lot of really wonderful support, but it's hard. It's a hard thing. It's hard to, like, in a couple of different ways. It's a challenge to, like, become really excellent at the thing that you want to do, and for that to be your goal, and to work on that all the time. And then it's also hard on the other side of things to then, like, get your foot in the door and try to get people to give you an opportunity to do the thing you love to do. But I've had a lot of really incredible support and teachers and mentors, and both on both sides of things in terms of acting and also in my music as well. So I feel really lucky that I've known from a young age what I've wanted to do, and I've had the support to do it. And it's still, you know, it's still a process, still things I'm working on. I've had successes, you know, little successes here and there, but I'm definitely still building it and working on that. I just feel like incredibly lucky, and there's a lot of joy in me pursuing these things, and in the midst of the challenges of trying to make your living off of the thing, the core of it is that I just really love to do it, and I find it incredibly fulfilling, and I've been obsessed with storytelling my whole life. So it feels good to know that you're pursuing the thing that you love to do and that is fulfilling to you. So it's hard, but I'm enjoying the journey of it, you know?
For those whose kind of first encounter with you was obviously your work in On the Rocks, what's been some of the highlights of your career so far? If people were maybe doing sort of a Evangeline Young sort of like marathon kind of day, it's obviously been sort of like a range of films, sort of TV shows, shorts, and in so many different types of roles. I watched your show reel on your website, and it was, you had this fantastic kind of range of roles you'd been in. Cool. What would you kind of recommend people to check out, or that they might have seen before?
That's a good question. There's a couple of things I'm super proud of, and that are also just kind of fun watches. Obviously, definitely go see On the Rocks. I just have a little brief moment in it, but it's a delightful movie, so go see it. I had the chance to work on this show that was on ABC called Emergence. It's kind of a sort of sci-fi meets family drama show. And that was a really cool experience for me, because I was hired initially to play the assistant to the chief of police, who's the lead of the show. And I just had like two lines in one episode. And then they ended up bringing my character back for a whole bunch more episodes and kind of expanding the part and making some really fun, weird, awesome choices. And I ended up coming back for a bunch of episodes, and it was just a joy, the whole experience of it. And I was really proud of the show. I think the show is a really fun, interesting watch. So I would say definitely go check that out. I did this really fun, this horror movie for Lifetime, called Amish Witches, the True Story of Holmes County, where I play an Amish girl. And that movie is a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun making that movie. So it's past Halloween, but it's still a really fun watch. I would say those are a couple of the highlights in terms of roles that if people wanted to get a little bit of a taste, they could check out. Yeah.
When did you sort of first hear about the opportunity for On the Rocks?
It was just through my agent. I was initially taping, I was auditioning to play the waitress. So it was for a different part, and I got the audition for it, and I remember thinking, like, I would get people's coffee if I could just be on this set and be around these people for 5 minutes. Like, I don't, like, what a joy. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be able to be around those guys. And so I taped the audition for the waitress, and then, like, I think maybe 2 weeks later, I got an email from my agent saying that I had a callback for a different part, this part, Miss Mindy, and I was going to come in and audition for it in person, and audition for the casting director, but also for Sofia Coppola and for Fred Ruse, who's the producer, and cast and produced like a bunch of The Godfathers, and you know, it's just like a legend. So I was, you know, just a couple of legends. I was like, okay, that's fine. Great. That awesome. That sounds great. And so I came in and then did the audition, which was really fun and easy. And then, yeah, I got, I think like maybe 3 days later, I found out that I had got the part. So it was really, really exciting.
You touched on it being kind of familiar with sort of Sofia Coppola. Were you sort of a fan of her work beforehand?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd seen a bunch of her films, of course, like films like Lost in Translation. Big fan of, speaking of Bill Murray. I think that she's such a, just a really unique filmmaker, and she tells a lot of different kinds of stories, but has, I think, a really unique individual voice. So I was a total fan of hers. I think she's fantastic.
Did you sort of, your character is obviously like this ballet teacher. Do you have a ballet experience kind of yourself, or was that very much kind of part of the, oh, I can get into the costume for that?
I have had ballet and dance experience. I went to a performing arts middle school and high school where I did a lot of dancing, like modern jazz, tap, and a lot of ballet. So I showed up in the audition wearing, you know, like something I would have worn to dance class. And I remember Sofia Coppola being like, oh, wow, you really look like a dance teacher. And I was like, nice. Awesome. That's what we want.
What was your sort of first day like on set when you got involved in the film?
It was really wonderful. I had a lot of, the whole thing was just a total joy and an experience I'll never forget. But I remember I had a lot of my friends asking me leading up to it, like, are you nervous? Are you nervous to be around those people? Like, you know, you must be like really nervous. And I wasn't. And I kept saying like, you know, I'm not nervous yet, but I'm sure that I will be. I'm just, you know, once I get there, I'm sure I'll be freaking out. And I just never was. Like, I felt very comfortable. And I think a big part of that had to do with everybody's attitudes and energies on set, which were just incredibly relaxed and easygoing and kind and warm. And like Sofia Coppola, Rashida Jones, Bill Murray down the line, just very down to earth, kind, warm people. And I also just kind of felt like, yeah, I know why I'm here. I'm here for a reason. I know what I have to offer. So I'm just going to do that and have fun. And I just had a ton of fun. So that was kind of a nice surprise too, to not freak out or be nervous. But it was wonderful. And everybody was really kind. We just had it's a little moment. The scene is a little moment, but we had a lot of fun with it.
What's it kind of like sort of sharing a scene with sort of Bill Murray and kind of Rashida Jones, to have that kind of moment on your sort of, you know, experience it, I guess? Like, as you say, it's the scene, but I can imagine that kind of feelings kind of last in a bit of a kind of a lifetime. How do you sort of then go, oh, that's the scene for the day, I'm going to go on and continue with my normal kind of thing?
that's exactly that question completely encapsulates how I was feeling. I kept kind of mentally pinching myself the whole day and was like, yeah, here I am just chatting with Rashida Jones, and this is great. And there's Sofia Coppola, nice to meet you. And Bill Murray, yep. And I just kind of, I wasn't nervous, but I was so aware of how special it was to be with those people. And I mean, they're just all legends. They're just legends. So I would say I was definitely mentally pinching myself the whole day. And it was really fun to not only to just like meet them and be around them, but to then like be somewhat of a peer in a scene, you know, and not to say that I'm like on their level or whatever, but just like to be like, yeah, we're all actors and we're all sharing this scene together, you know. That's a pretty cool feeling. And the process of it was, like I said, just really easy and relaxed. And there was a lot of just like kind of playfulness, and I like, there were a couple of lines written, but Sofia Coppola was just kind of like, yeah, you guys can just, to Rashida and I, she was like, you guys can just kind of keep talking and feel free to just sort of keep going. And so there was like some improvising happening, you know, interacting with the kids, and Bill Murray was doing his like wonderful, wacky, just hilarious thing. And it was just a blast. It was a blast. And I was just made to feel so comfortable, and I just felt very at home, but also kind of in awe at the same time.
What's that kind of like for you as an actor when you get an opportunity like that to improvise? For example, you know, Rashida Jones has that strong comedy background from things like The Office, Parks and Recreation, Bill Murray, obviously. What's that like for yourself when it's like kind of going toe to toe, sort of finding that rhythm with them, and sort of, I suppose everyone has their own versions of what's quite funny and what's quite natural. So how many kind of variations and sort of kind of, you know, bits did you sort of go through to kind of finally settle on that one scene or take?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think it is really easy because they're so good. All you have to do is just be present and know your relationship to these people. And that's kind of the whole job, right? Is like, you do your work, you know who you are, you show up, you're present with these people, you know them, you know how you feel about them. I had kind of made up ahead of time sort of what my relationship was to them. And then you just kind of like explore the truth of what's happening. And, you know, her beautiful little, the kids playing her children in the movie were just like beautiful and adorable. And so we're kind of just playing off of that. And having a very kind of easy back and forth. And then it's not, I will say, like, there was not much acting involved for me when Bill Murray, you know, kind of like flirts with you and does the finger guns and like, and I am flustered and excited. There was not really a whole lot of acting happening there. That was pretty easy to connect to because that's just exactly how I was feeling in the moment. But yeah, it was super easy and enjoyable. And we were just kind of like playing in the moment.
Was it a sort of a real ballet class or was it sort of childhood extras? And what was that like on set to sort of manage all these kids basically?
It wasn't a real ballet class. I think the idea of the scene is that it's sort of like post class or like leading into another class. So there were a bunch of children around. I don't know, some of them probably were actual like ballet dancers, some of them were maybe just extras, I'm not really sure, but it was really fun to hang out with the kids. But also, like, Bill Murray was, he felt like kind of the host of the set in some ways, because he's just has that kind of presence and kindness about him. But it was so cool to watch him like playing with the kids and making them laugh, and it was really fun. It was really fun and not too chaotic. It just felt like a bunch of us like kind of hanging out together. It was really fun.
What was sort of Sofia Coppola like as a sort of director to work with on that scene? Obviously you got your experience with it in the audition process. What is she like sort of on set?
She was so, I just remember like being struck by how warm and down to earth she was and very easygoing, like coming, like I said, you know, we had these lines, she came over and was just kind of like, yeah, this is great. Like, you guys can just kind of, you know, feel free to just kind of keep talking and do your thing. And she was just, it was just very easy and fun. And she just seemed like she was enjoying herself and everybody just had such a warm, relaxed energy. So, you know, again, it's kind of a little moment, but she didn't have a ton of direction. She just kind of let us do our thing and play with it. And yeah, she was great. It was really, really cool to see that.
Do you take a lot of confidence from things like that, where it's like the director trusts you, you know what you've been hired for, to go off and do a scene like that? Or is there sort of that nerves potentially of like, oh, I kind of feel like I need this sort of direction to sort of want to know how to sort of maybe bounce off these people? Which kind of way do you sort of fall?
I always think that it's usually, in my experience, it's a good thing when the director doesn't feel the need to come over and keep giving you direction, because it means that they trust you. Two, like, it does instill a confidence of like, yeah, you were cast for a reason. What your take on this part is what they want. So, and what she wants. So feel free to do that. And then for her to give even more freedom and to say like, yeah, feel free to just kind of keep talking and kind of say what you want, react off the truth of the moment, instills great confidence. And yeah, just as sort of a cardinal rule with most directors that I've worked with, if they're not, you know, you don't want them to be breathing down your neck. And if they don't have anything to say, that's usually because they're getting what they want. And that seemed to be the case here too.
With a film like this, you touched on it, it's like a moment in a film. What is like a typical kind of day in that moment? Is that like when we watch that scene, is that 2 days, 1 day? Are you sort of turning up to work at 6 o'clock and going home at kind of 10 p.m. at night? What would be sort of like your traditional day sort of shooting a scene like that?
Well, it definitely changes depending on what you're shooting and the time and stuff like that. But that was one day, and it was really easy in terms of the timing of it. I think I can't remember exactly what time I had to be there, but maybe like, let's just say around like noon. And then we shot for a few hours, and I think I left probably around like 6 or 7 p.m. Because the shoot was really easy. We just did like a couple of different setups and angles. And I got to, I was kind of a little bit creepy because I was so excited that I got to the area of, we were shooting in Soho. And so I got to the area probably like an hour ahead of time. And I just sort of like walked around and like, you know, went and got a tea nearby and just sort of, you know, tried to bide my time and not freak out with excitement. And then, yeah, we shot for a few hours. It was really easy. I didn't want to leave for obvious reasons. I mean, I once they told me I was done, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So I guess I should just kind of head out then. Okay, yeah, I guess I got to leave. Right, right. It's time for me to go. Okay. And then I like had to kind of get my stuff. But yeah, it was just, it was a really easy shoot. And I had such a fun time that I really didn't want to leave. And you asked me earlier, like, how do you just go on with your day after that? I think I'm pretty sure I just sort of sailed out of there and definitely called my mom, and I met up with a friend of mine afterwards and at a bar, and we just like drank, and I told him all about it, and I was like, yeah, and then this happened and Bill Murray did this and it was crazy, and you know, just sort of unpacked it.
If it makes you feel any kind of more kind of normal about that reaction, is we had our sort of first On the Rocks interview yesterday, and the same actor also called their family after to tell them all about their amazing experience of kind of with Bill Murray. So he must have an effect on people in the industry.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. And he's everything that you hope that he would be. All of the stories and the myths and everything. He is that guy. He is that guy.
He has that kind of mythical status here in Scotland as well. Like he regularly, well, before obviously lockdown happened, he used to come here all the time to kind of golf, and there would be often like anytime that would happen, it would often follow like Bill Murray attends Scottish University student halls and has party with people, and like there's pictures and experiences. Like he just seems to build up this mythical status that where he goes,
everywhere
kind of validate that kind of perception people have of him.
Yes, he does. He's just, and he's somebody I think that he kind of, I think he knows that he has that status, but he uses it to like change lives and make people's days and bring them joy and also give them great stories. And I think that that's pretty darn cool. I had like within the first 20 minutes after meeting him, I had my own little, like what I felt to be my own little Bill Murray story. And it was a really special day. So I got to set and I met everybody and I met him, and you know, he's like, hi, I'm Bill. And in my head, I'm thinking like, yes, of course, I know who you are. But he was just really kind. And we rehearsed the scene a couple times. And I was standing on my mark waiting to do it again. And he kind of came out of nowhere and just stepped directly on both of my feet and got like pretty close to my face. And I remember thinking like, this is absolutely the greatest moment of my life. I've peaked, this is happening. This is my story. And he was like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's going good. It's going good. How are you? And he goes, I'm good. I'm good. Where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from Philly. And he was going out of his way to make me feel comfortable and kind of break the ice and like be silly and fun. And I was like, oh, I'm from Philly. And he goes, oh, Philly. Very nice. Very nice. Just like so close to my face. And then he was like, so now I think he called me Miss Mindy. He was like, Miss Mindy, I'm a little rusty on my ballet positions. So can you show me the ballet positions? And I was like, sure, Bill Murray, I'll show you ballet positions. Yeah, no problem. And then we just like went over the different positions. And I just like, I also was so touched by how like he did really just like the whole day too, like went far out of his way to make me feel very comfortable and break the ice and relaxed. And we just like chatted and told stories. But yeah, that moment I remember as he's stepping on both of my toes and it's just like, I'm taking in this legend. I was like, this is it. I think this is probably the greatest moment of my life happening right here. It was really, really awesome.
And it feels like you capture that in the kind of the film with your interaction with his sort of little yeah. bit of a flirtation getting away. Because I remember when we sort of reviewed the movie a few months ago now, and it was like, it felt like we watched that and we thought, like that's clearly a writer that has seen sort of Bill Murray in action, and sort of he seems to have that lovely way with everyone where that's something we've got from our interviews where people have worked on film that goes, it's that personal touch and interaction. And it kind of goes a long way to sort of going, oh yeah, that's nice to meet you. And, you know, raising a kind of smile, and you sort of see that in that interaction with Miss Mindy. You can imagine that just sort of makes her day.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I think 100% you're right on. And like I said, there wasn't a ton of acting going on in that moment for me. I just had to like look at Bill Murray and you know, react. But yeah, that was his way the whole day too. And like I said, he felt very much like kind of like the host of the set. He was a total pro and was really on top of his stuff. But like, there was also a moment where in between takes, when we had a bit of a break in between setups, somebody was kind of like, oh, where's Bill? And we looked across the street and he was across the street outside in costume, just like talking to a bunch of cops and like making their days. And like, they were all laughing and just clearly loving it. Like, that's just kind of how he, from what I see and think, just kind of goes through the world. And it's pretty special.
When did you sort of get to see the film for the first time? And what was your reaction to the finished product?
So I didn't get to see it when I was, because it did, I think, a virtual premiere and did like kind of a drive-in premiere for the New York Film Festival in New York. And I didn't get to see it when I was there and when it premiered. And so I had to wait until it came out, but I really wanted to see it in theaters because obviously it was released on Apple TV, but I was like, you know, this is kind of a special thing. I really want to see it in the theater, but I was also, obviously with coronavirus and everything, it's hard to do that safely. But there was a theater a couple towns over from, I'm from Pennsylvania, which is where I am right now. There was a theater, like an independent theater, a few towns over from me that was doing these private screenings where you could rent one of their small theaters and for like a really reasonable price and then just go and kind of watch whatever movie they were showing. And so I was like, I know that's kind of like a lot for my parents and I to just like have a private screening of this film. But you know what? It's coronavirus. It was near my birthday. And I was like, this is a big deal. Let's just really ball out and like rent a small theater. And so we can feel super safe and relaxed and then enjoy this movie. And so that's what we did. My parents and I went and saw it and it was awesome. It was really, really special. I mean, the film for me is just like a delight and a total escape. Which we all, I think, need desperately right now in this time. But it was, yeah, it was great. And because there was no one else in the theater, my parents and I just got to be like, oh my God, there it is. Wow, this is crazy. And talk out loud. And it was a lot of fun.
I was lucky enough. I got to see it in cinemas as well. I mean, it did really well here in the UK because I think it dropped 3 weeks before Apple TV. I actually went to see it quite surreally as a double feature with On the Rocks and then The Trial of the Chicago 7, the Netflix movie.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, you know, so many films were like not coming into theaters here, but we could get a Netflix movie and an Apple TV film. And like the people were still turning up, even though they could watch it in a few weeks' time, they wanted to go see the new Sofia Coppola film, the new Aaron Sorkin film, in kind of theaters. And it was so nice to see a film like that. It was a sellout. I mean, a sellout in a 25% filled cinema.
Course.
But it was great to see, like, better get your tickets for On the Rocks. It's about to sell out. It's about to sell out. And that was
great.
Fantastic as well that, even though people have the option to watch it for like a couple of quids on their TVs or phones, that people were still going out of their way to watch it in an independent theater. And that made me really kind of excited about what Apple TV and Netflix are doing for sort of independent cinemas just now when,
yes,
sadly they're shut again here in Scotland, but what they were doing at the time when they could.
Absolutely. That's so cool. I love hearing that. That's awesome.
Obviously it isn't an Apple TV film and people are watching it all around the world on phones, computers, laptops, whenever they want. Is it quite exciting for you as an actor where you think about what these kind of streaming platforms can do, where before, with all the best will for a movie like On the Rocks, you know, Lost in Translation, any sort of Sofia Coppola movie, an indie movie, they have that short rollout in New York and Los Angeles, word of mouth, it has another little bit of rollout and then all the kind of other films coming to come along. With something like this, the word of mouth can be, you should check out this film, and you can check it out at the click of a finger, whether you're in Australia, Iceland, Utah, wherever. What's it like when you get an opportunity to be in a film like that where people all around the world can watch it whenever they want, whenever they like?
I think it's so cool. And obviously, like you were saying, you know, to have that wider automatically having a wider audience and to have people have so many more opportunities to see it and so easily, I think is really awesome and so cool to have a company like Apple TV, you know, promoting and supporting and putting out a film, a smaller, you know, New York story like this is so cool. And also to have a lot of these kinds of streaming platforms giving a larger audience to independent stories, I think is really exciting because in my opinion, like most of the most interesting, moving, off the beaten track individual stories are being told in independent films these days. So, and that's, you know, also one of the reasons I love A24 so much, but like to have those kinds of stories being promoted and given a chance to be seen by a larger audience is fantastic. And to make them more accessible is fantastic.
When I saw the film, it sort of took on another sort of experience for me, and I know it for others that saw it as well, that I love New York. You know, I'm currently going through, you know, a dark winter here in Scotland, but like my Facebook like memories at the moment is like, you were in New York 3 years ago and here's your all your pictures. And then I was kind of watching this film where it was like, everything's, you know, hunkered down just now, whether it's cinemas, restaurants, being able to see people. And I found it surreal watching a film like this where people were hugging, you could see full ballet classes, pubs, clubs, you know, all these sorts of things where it's like, oh wow, that's what the world used to be like. What was it like for yourself kind of watching the film sort of in this current climate? Was it just me sort of getting that experience, or was that like the same for you, seeing this amazing East Coast city brought back to life in a way?
Oh my gosh. No, it wasn't just you. I was having the exact same reaction. I mean, I watch most films and television shows that I watch today, which are many because we're in a quarantine. Anytime I see like a party scene or a group scene, I'm always like, wow, look at them. They're all so close together. That's so insane. It's like hard to wrap your brain around, but especially with this movie, because I live in New York. I live in Brooklyn, but I have been out of New York a lot during the virus because things have been so shut down and the cases were so high there and blah, blah, blah. But watching that, and another thing that I love so much about the movie is that it feels kind of like a love letter to New York in some different ways, because you see this, you know, Rashida Jones and Bill Murray just, you know, driving through the streets of Soho in this beautiful little car, and the city just looks beautiful. You know, she made it look beautiful, and it is. And she captured that kind of wild, magic, spontaneous life that is always going through it. And it was a wonderful escape for me to watch that and see that, and also made me have a physical ache in my chest because I miss New York so much, and I miss that energy and that life and being able to be in the middle of that. So it was both like wonderful to see that again and really sad because it's something that I miss a great deal, especially with it still being my home. You know, I miss it a lot, and I look forward to the time when it's safe, when we can be out there together again very much.
What have you been binging or watching sort of during your kind of lockdown in Philly and New York?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I just watched, I mean, I'll just go from film to film. Like I'll do like marathons, and sometimes it's, I think, a little bit much. I caught up on some Wes Anderson movies that I hadn't seen. I did a back-to-back. This is insane that I hadn't seen these movies, but I did a back-to-back viewing of Rushmore and Into the Royal Tenenbaums, which I absolutely loved.
Those are two of my favorite ones. Like Royal Tenenbaums, I think, would be my top 10 films of all time.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah. Another like really wonderful.
Next time you're in New York, be sure to check out the sort of Tenenbaum house. It's it's a little bit down on sort of the underground. I had to drag a girlfriend all the way there for like 2 minutes of like, that's the house.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Well, that's it. You know, and so I would highly recommend
that's really it.
Something to do.
That's really cool. It's at like 145th or something, isn't it? It's something like all the way up. Yeah. I have not seen it, but now that I've seen the movie finally, I'm definitely going to check that out. That's awesome that you were that committed to dragging your girlfriend all the way up there. That's really cool.
It's obviously been sort of like a challenging year for sort of performers and the creative arts. How have things been sort of for you, and what can we do to sort of support the creative arts and musicians and actors like yourself during this kind of period of uncertainty?
It's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think like everybody, it's been very hard personally, creatively, all of that through this time. And I think I, like everybody, was feeling pretty unprepared for something like this to happen. I've managed to stay creative in some cool ways and keep a kind of momentum going, both in my acting as well as in my music. I've still been auditioning for really cool projects, and I think taking some cool steps forward there, you know, when they come up, which is not, it's not a lot, because a lot of, I'd say most productions are still on hold. And also I just finished recording my second record. I went up to New Hampshire to do that. So I was able to keep creating and you know, I write songs all the time and play music and practice and whatnot, and then got to record, which was really cool. And then to still have these auditions to be working on as well is good. And I'm very grateful for that. And I've managed to stay creative in these different ways, but it's an incredibly hard time. And I think, like, you know, it's so hard when, you know, as performers, like, such a big part of what we do and the way that we release and put out our art is in such a way where people have to come together or want to come together to experience that, whether it's a film or a play or a concert. And it's a really, really hard thing to not be able to come together like that and not be able to have that platform to just to have that really cool exchange with an audience. But I think, like, in terms of what people can do to support artists, like, you know, people are still finding creative ways to put out their content, whether it's, you know, releasing a film they shot in quarantine and putting that out online, or doing a live stream show on Instagram or YouTube or whatever. And there are ways to still have that exchange. And so I'd say any way that you can do that, or buy merch from your favorite artist who can't tour right now or whatever it is, like, do your best to go out of your way and be intentional about supporting them and showing up to those live streams and checking out those films, whatever it may be. Also, I was just actually emailing my local government about this, but it's really scary because a lot of independent venues, a lot of like music venues and also theaters are closing, and it's terrifying because we need them now big time, but when we get out of this, we're gonna need those kinds of places more than ever. And they're just really, really struggling. So, you know, it's scary to think that those kind of havens that we go to for healing and solace and to come together as a community are, some of them won't be there when we come out of this. So I would say whatever you can do in terms of that, email your local governments to make sure those people are getting support and money, you know, donate where you can, find ways to support them. A lot of places, again, are finding creative ways to raise money. So support your local independent venues as well. So I would just say, yeah, like be as intentional as you can about finding ways to support artists and venues.
You're so true about the venues. And I mean, I don't know how much you know about where I live. I live here in Edinburgh in Scotland. And we are the home of like the Fringe, which is like the world's biggest arts festival, like, you know, right. Musicians, performers, theatre, everything like that. And I find it so surreal, like walking around my city at the moment, seeing venues that are usually filled with people, or, you know, an artist, you know, there on their guitar, or someone trialing this show that they're going to take wide. And it's just, I described it to a friend, I was like, it feels like it's been hollowed out, the sort of the creative arts industry, sort of you just walk around places and it's just dead, especially empty. You know, at this time of night, it's just so sad. And I'm so hopeful that governments will intervene and keep these places alive, because they, as you say, they're needed for healing, for laughter, for so many things.
Yeah, and to be able to come together as a community and take in art together, I think it's one of the oldest practices that we have as a society, and it's one of the most essential, I think, to just our survival. I know that's kind of a strong thing to say, but I really, really believe that, like, we need storytelling in all its forms, and thank goodness we have ways to stream things, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that ability, but I think to experience those things in person, to go to a concert, to go to a movie theater, and to experience those things together as a community is just so important. We need it.
we pose this question to everyone we have on the show. What's your sort of opinion of A24? You're now obviously part of their filmography, and what are some of the highlights of their film or television output for you?
I love A24. I've always loved the stories that they tell. I think easily some of the most interesting, individual, weird, moving stories and films that I've seen have come out of their filmography. I think anytime I see their logo in front of a film, that pretty much means I will definitely be going to see it, because I so trust their prioritizing, like they prioritize storytelling and promoting interesting stories and storytellers, as opposed to, you know, thinking about like the broad commercial appeal. And I think that's why their films do so well. And I think that they just let their artists and storytellers do what they want and tell the story the way that they want to. And that what that creates is just an incredibly diverse, you know, catalog of films and stories and storytellers and peeks into lives that I would have never had the chance to see or experience. So I just have so much respect for their approach to that. I think there are so many of their films. I actually wrote some of them down that I'm just obsessed with. I mean, and they're so diverse. Like in one catalog, you have movies like 20th Century Women, The End of the Tour, Ex Machina, Locke, Swiss Army Man, A Ghost Story, Good Time, Lady Bird, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which I freaking loved. Yeah. Those are like a couple of my standouts. I also just watched Under the Silver Lake the other night, which was, have you seen that?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I loved it. It's so, and that kind of a movie with that kind of really heavy stylistic approach is really hard to do and pull off well, but I thought they totally did. Anyway, yeah, I'm a giant fan of theirs, and I think I hope to be, you know, to work with them and to be a part of their films many times over for a long time to come.
You've got a lot of great choices there, but I must admit, it makes me smile and happy to know that something like Locke's in there, a film about sort of a Birmingham guy talking about concrete for 90 minutes. I'm glad that translates over the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh my gosh, I tried to show that movie to everybody that I could when I saw it, because I couldn't, I mean, the feat of acting that is, and to be able to, I remember going into that movie and thinking like, how are they going to be able to keep my attention for an hour and a half? And I was gripped the entire time, gripped, loved it.
For people that are kind of listening to this, where's the kind of best place to kind of stay up to date with like your news, your music, live streams? What's kind of the best platforms to keep up to date?
Yeah, I'd say my Instagram is usually where I'm posting about those things and posting my live streams and information about different projects I have. So my Instagram is just Evangeline Grace Young. If people want to follow that. Like I said, I just made my second record, which I'm in the process of mixing and mastering right now. So hopefully sometime earlier next year, I'll be releasing that. I'll be posting about that as well. My first record, Splinters, is also on Spotify. It's under my name, Evangeline Young, if people want to check that out. But I usually, yeah, post all updates on my Instagram.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to sort of go behind the scenes of sort of the making of On the Rocks and talk with you today. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. This was so fun to talk to you, Lee. Thanks for having me.